We started by talking about the tongue. How many of you have been blessed? How many of you can remember what we have talked so far about the tongue? How many of you have been blessed by the message about the tongue? How we ought to guard our spirits. How we ought to guard our spirits above every other thing. King Solomon just challenges us and he tells us that above everything else, that we ought to guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of what? Issues of life. Amen. So the heart is a cistern. It is a fountain of things that affect us, our destinies. It holds the core values of our lives. That is the where our dreams are embedded. Our visions are stored up in our hearts, and so we ought to protect it. We ought to shield ourselves, you know, from its destruction. The Bible tells us that, you know, he puts a wall in front of us and a wall behind us. He lays his hand over us. Praise God. And I believe the main intention for God doing that is that we may, that the heart might be protected and that we may know the power of God. We also saw how we can incorporate the word of God through our prayers by making decrees and declarations over things that affect us on a daily basis. Incorporating, reading the book of, you can incorporate the book of Psalm chapter number 18 as we saw the other time. You can take Psalm number 27, very favorite part of the scripture. You can take Psalm 139. Oh, praise be to God. By the way, you can go read Psalm 139, Psalm 27. Beautiful, beautiful portions, passages of scripture that you can incorporate in your prayer, and it can bring significance, dynamism, even as we chatter through the at the course of our life. Praise be to God. And today, I want us to bring the Spirit of God imploring me to check on the parable of the sower. And I want us to check it out from the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. How many of you have your Bibles? Can you wave your Bibles back to unto the Lord this afternoon? Wave your Bibles unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to go to Matthew, chapter number 13, verse number 1. We may not finish up this today, but there are some nuggets the Spirit of God has been unveiling into my spirit. And I believe it is the intention of the Lord for us to delve into them and just check out a few nuggets, you know, from the Word of God. The parable of the sower. I will read very quickly. No, we don't have much time, but please just give me a few minutes to read it, and then we'll tackle what we'll be able to tackle today. On the same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground." Somebody say good ground. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. Verse number 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Verse number 11, this is very, very important. He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Verse number 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will not see nor perceive.' For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see their eyes and hear with their eyes lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Okay, let's go to verse number 23. Verse number 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. This is now Jesus explaining to the disciples. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. For when tribulations or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse number 22. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But verse number 23. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to commit this text unto you. I just want to thank you. It is impossible to do it justice, Father God, but in the little time that we have, allow us, Father God, even to delve into your heart, Lord, and snatch out, Lord, some nuggets, Lord, even from your heart. I thank you, Father, because you are the author of everything that is beautiful here on earth. And I pray that we shall open up our hearts, God, even to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Father, we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this is a very, very wonderful portion of scripture. And I know most of you have at any one time, you know, read, you know, either from the four Gospels, either from the book from the book of Luke, the book of Mark, or John, or from the book of Matthew about the parable of the sower. Very, very powerful portion of the scripture. It is in line with what we've been discussing about the powerfulness of the Word of God, the essential ingredients that are found in the Word of God. God purposes that we understand. If we can be all rounded in understanding the effectiveness of the Word of God in our hearts, let me tell you, the greatest thing that we can ever know here on earth is to have, number one, a fertile ground, a ground that is ready to receive the Word of God, because when the Word of God settles in our hearts, it creates a dynamism within us that knocks out our attitudes, knocks out anything that we are comprised of, and puts us in line and conforms us to the will of God concerning our life. Amen. Anything, the greatest thing that we can ever achieve is, number one, to know the effectiveness of the Word of God in our lives, and to know where that word, when it comes to us, lands. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the Bible talks about, Jesus describes various kinds of grounds. Now, in his day, he was rejected as he was preaching the Word of God, and the more people continued to hear the Word of the Lord, and the more Jesus used to move with the demonstrations through the works of the miracles that he performed among his people, the more these people were so callous and hardened about the truths that he preached. Praise be to God. At one time, these people witnessed Jesus opening up blind eyes. They witnessed Jesus healing people of different kinds. And wherever he went, Jesus performing all these miracles. But he comes to a point whereby these people could not even understand. They could not even understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Actually, they used to say that Jesus was under the influence of the chief demon, you know, Beelzebub, isn't it? You know, they could not understand, you know. For them, this generation of his time, they sought for a sign. You know, do we have those people who that live in our generations today who must see the sign so that they can believe? In Jesus' generation, people were moved. They were looking for a sign. Praise be to God. But Jesus, when Jesus was speaking to them, the words that he spoke were powerful. And he expected those words to be responded by through the faith that they would receive. And that's why Jesus, while speaking these words to his disciples, they could not even understand. But when his disciples have come back to him and they're telling him, hey, Jesus, what did you understand? What did you mean by this parable? Why have you now adopted a way of communication? You've been speaking to the people in parables. You know, the disciples of Jesus come to Jesus and they're asking him, why are you speaking to these people in parables? And Jesus speaks a very profound word that we ought to catch. If we can catch this, then you can catch the heart of this message. Jesus tells his disciples and he tells them that to you, it has been given to you the understanding to receive the mysteries of the kingdom. Oh, Jesus, it has been given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. But to those who are ungenerated, they don't have the ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, what is a mystery? What do you understand by a mystery, Tony? What is a mystery? A mystery is a secret. It is a hidden truth that you have to fight for or you have to seek for so that you can find. You can never just find it anyhowly. And he tells him, you know what? There are some mysteries of the kingdom. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, these people also believed that the kingdom of God to be unveiled, it would have to be unveiled through physical manifestation, as we read in the book of Revelation. You know what the Bible says? And I saw the new Jerusalem coming down with the glory and the majesty. You know, these people were, all they were built up for was for a sign. But Jesus is introducing some concepts of the kingdom, some kingdom dynamics. And he tells them that, you know what? The kingdom of, even before the kingdom of God has to be physically manifested in its glory, I want you to know that the kingdom of God is among you. We can begin to enjoy the concepts of the kingdom before it is physically manifested unto us. Before the kingdom, the new Jerusalem is unveiled and before it shows up with its glory and like a wall of glass, like a big square box coming down from heaven, we can begin to understand the concepts of the kingdom. Praise be to God. And he tells them, but as for you, my disciples, even though you may not really comprehend it well, you have been given the power. You have an ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Praise be to God. Because while you have a relationship with God, you don't have to wait until we can get into New Jerusalem in order for us to understand. The Bible says in the book of John 17 that now Jesus Christ is eternal life. Hallelujah. Within you, you have received eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. Praise be to God. Powerful, powerful. I love this because, as Jesus said, if I would speak the word of God to these people, it will continue to harden their hearts. It is until somebody has a relationship with me. It is until they have acknowledged me as the Savior. It is until they have accepted me as the Lord and Savior that their eyes are well open and their hearts are well ready to receive the mysteries of the kingdom. I would like you to understand that, you know what? You don't even have to wait for that kingdom to be unveiled. You can begin to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom while we are still related. And why we are still on earth today. Hello. God intends that for each one of us, somebody says me. Somebody say me. Yeah, you, if you have accepted Jesus, God has put it upon you. He has given you an ability. There is an ability within you. You have been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. For indeed, how can somebody explain when the word of God says that unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground, it abides by itself. But when it dies, it brings forth and sprouts forth into many seeds. Praise be to God. And even though in Isaiah 53, the Bible speaks about that kernel of wheat that fell on the ground as Jesus going to the cross and giving up his life on the cross so that many sons would come into the kingdom. We have come into the kingdom as a result of Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying, and us accepting him as the Lord and Savior, we have gained access to our Father. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground, it abides but by itself.
Hallelujah. And Jesus also comes to visit the sisters of, who is this man that was? Oh, yeah, the sister. Yeah, thank you, Pastor. He comes to visit the sisters of Lazarus. And as he visits with them, there's a sister called Mary and there's a sister called Martha. And Martha is busy in the kitchen. And she was, many people try to demonize or to just, you know, castigate, you know, her, Martha, for what she did. But she was in the business of wanting to prepare a meal for the master. But Jesus brings a distinction between the ministry of what Martha and Mary used to do. Martha came just by the feet of Jesus, and Jesus spake unto Mary, and she said, and she first of all spoke to Martha and says, Martha, Martha, why are you concerned over so many things? Martha, Martha. Martha, like she was not even listening. Martha, oh Martha, Martha, why are you concerned for so many things? You know what? She says, but your sister is right here by my feet. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke and said that she has chosen the better thing. And what she has chosen to do cannot be taken away from her. Church, let me tell you, it has been given for you to understand the mysteries of the Lord, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. If we can know that this word, whenever the word of God is spoken, the destination to warn to that word, I want you to listen to me. Whenever the word of God is spoken, its destination is to your heart. Somebody say to your heart. God never intends to speak his word to just go anywhere. But when the word of God is spoken, even from the pulpit or from wherever you hear it, its target is in your heart. Praise God. Because God knows that out of your heart flows the issues of life. It is imperative, therefore, for the word of God, for God himself, to get inside of your heart, to realign a few things within your heart so that anything that would come out that would be connected to the issues and to the destinies of your life may be corrected and lined up and straightened up. And that's why when the word of God is spoken out, it is directed, number one, go straight to your heart. Praise be to God. And that's why Jesus, when speaking, he's speaking this parable. And the disciples come to him and tell, we don't even understand. And Jesus tells the disciples, you don't even have to worry about it. You may not even really understand it, but I want you to know that it has been given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. So even if you may really not understand everything, but I want you to know that you have a pass. You have already graduated. You have gone past the boundary. You have an access. You're already on the other side. If all I need to do is spend a little bit more time with you, and you have been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And he says that as the seeds were being broadcast, you know, in the Far East, what they used to do, they used to broadcast seed. They never used like we do, that we normally do. Now they do it, you know, in a more modernized way. But in the old times, they used just to broadcast seeds. So wherever they could broadcast those seeds, you know, they would throw them anywhere, and those seeds, wherever they could go, some of them would germinate, some of them would never germinate. And Jesus says that this the sower comes and throws his seed, and some of those seeds fell on a hard surface. And as soon as that word came on a hard surface, the birds of the air came and ate up that word, and they were left without nothing. Let me tell you, church, is it possible that many times the word of God has been spoken? And I know maybe we may not be classified under this section whereby our heart is so hard and it has been hardened by the things that we have gone through in the past. Let me tell you that the devil is in the business of moving all throughout the face of the earth looking for people that he can corrupt, especially people who are well connected with God, so that he can corrupt. How do I know this? Because he comes after he had come to visit Job. He comes into the presence of God and he says, "Hey, I'm from." And then the Lord asked the devil, "Where have you been? I'm from roaming to and from the earth. I want you to know that the devil is in the business of roaming the earth, looking for people that he can corrupt. He is looking for offices and headquarters that he can use to castigate and propagate his mission. Are you listening to me, church?" And when he comes before the Lord, this is exactly what he says. He says, "You know what? Have you not regarded your servant Job? Because I've been with him. And when I went there, he was completely protected so that I could not access him. I want you to know that the devil has once, not even once, visited you, but has frequented your house. But he has found a hedge of protection. Oh, glory be to Jesus." Why are you looking at me like you don't believe it? Maybe he was by your homestead last night. He tried to come through your children. He probably wanted to come through your spouse. He tried to come probably through your career. He will use anything to access you. When he is not able to get to you, he will use something that is closer to you. But you know, every time he comes, he finds this hedge of protection. And he comes to God, "Have you not protected your servant, Pastor Francis? Have you not protected him?" And Jesus, God, the Father says that, "I have given you ability, the authority to go and do whatever you can do to him, because I want to prove him. I've proven he's a blameless man. He stands for my concepts. He stands for my word, and he has hidden my word in him. And I know that his heart will stand." And the devil came and he started. You know what happened to Job? Lost his children, lost everything. Lost so many things. His wife, you know, almost actually in one of the instances, his wife told him, "Why can't you cast God and die?" I mean, for a husband and a wife to have come to that point whereby the wife, you know, would have told this husband, "Why don't you cast God and die? I mean, why should you go through this trouble?" Let me tell you, church, listen to me very well. The enemy, the devil, is so much against the word of God. And he is on the loose. As a matter of fact, whenever you come from church every single Sunday, or you come in the house of God, or you're in a fellowship, and the word of God was spoken, you know what you need to do? You need to seal that word so that it may not be stolen. Because the enemy of God knows the effectiveness of the word of God, particularly if that word lands on a fertile ground. Because indeed, this is exactly what happens. You know, every single one of us has their own thing going on in their hearts, right? We even though we are born again, we are, Jesus said that while you're on this earth, you'll encounter trouble. There's some times when we are afflicted from every corner. There's a times, you know, when everything that can go wrong goes wrong. Everybody, you know, speaks against you. Your wife woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Your husband may have woken up from the wrong side of the bed. And you know, you might be cheerful at one moment and everything seemed to collapse on you. Let me tell you, the enemy knows the effectiveness of the word of God. And when the word of God is spoken, there are legions of demons that are sent out among us, the Christians, believers, so that they can steal that word. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? His mission is number one, to come and steal it. And after he has stolen it, what does he do? He destroys you and then kills you. That is his number one mission. They have been sent, all demons have been sent out with all those threefold missions: to come and steal, destroy, and ultimately kill. And so the enemy, he is looking forward when you're reading the word of God. No wonder when you read your word, you can read a magazine, a beauty magazine, and you're understanding everything, what they say about Beyonce, and you cannot be distracted. But get to read the book of John. Your mind goes to Africa, and you're able to see your grandfather, your grandmother, who was living in even, you've never thought about them, but the devil makes your mind to wonder. Right? You can take even a novel. James Hadley Chase, you can read it from page to page. You can even skip meals. You can even skip breakfast. You don't even want to go to bed because this is so interesting. I cannot leave it. How many of you know what I'm trying to say? But get to read the word of God.
or be directed to the word of the Lord. The first page, you're reading one sentence, and Jesus said, and Jesus, in 15 minutes, you're still reading, and Jesus said. And you're slapping yourself, what is going on with me? I have to concentrate to hear what the Spirit of God. No, you have no problem. It is the enemy of God, because he knows once that word lands into your heart, especially that word that talks about you being a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, that as long as my word abides in you and I in you, you can ask for anything. Let me tell you, the devil will never allow that word to get into your heart, because he knows once you abide in God and that word abides in you, and when you open up your mouth to speak to your God, things are going to begin to happen. When he knows that you, when you recognize, when he knows that you're coming to a point where you can recognize the authority, oh Jesus, the authority of the word of God, and that you can use it against him, he will try to stop you. Oh yes, he will try to stop you. He will try to stop you from going to a fellowship. He will try to stop you from going to a prayer meeting. He will line up. Oh, you remember, you know, I had a good appointment. I have to attend this meeting. You know, I have to do this. I have to do the other thing. But not anything that is connected to the fellowship. By the way, I'm not really stepping on your toes. I'm also stepping on mine. We're exposing the devil, because this is what he does. The word, when it's spoken, Sister Carol, it is directed to your heart. And the devil has been moving back and forth, trying to visit you to see, you know, the moment she comes to you, Tony, he realizes, oh God, I cannot penetrate this wall. And he might come another day, or he might be sending another, some other demons, and he might say, oh, I see kamwanya, you know, I see like a crack. He tries to get in, I cannot go through. He goes again, and then he's sending another one. He comes up, oh, come on. At that point, let me tell you, if you are not really keen, and a lot of what of the devices of the enemy, the Bible says in the book of James 4:7, resist, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, resist the devil. In other words, when you see things that are coming towards you that would alienate you from the Lord, you are supposed to stand your ground and pronounce to the devil, I am a child of God, and you cannot come to this soul. I am the headquarters of the kingdom of God. I propagate the kingdom of heaven. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. We have to be alert, children of God. Are you listening to me? We have to be alert in our workplaces. You have to be alert when you're riding on a bus. You have to be alert when you're in the traffic. You have to be alert when you're on the internet. You have to be alert when you're reading. You have to be alert in every single moment in your conversations. Oh, glory to Jesus. I have sensed sometimes, Julius, the enemy. Do you know, by the way, the devil can use you? Why are you looking like me? Like I've the devil can use somebody. Did he not use Peter? Peter was a very close confidant to Jesus. And Peter wanted to stop Jesus from what? From going into Jerusalem for crucifixion. He says, no, Jesus, these people cannot kill you. They cannot kill you. What are you talking about? Let me see anybody who comes against you. He was trying to thwart the plan of God concerning humanity. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Satan, get behind me. He was not speaking to Peter, but he was speaking to the devil who was trying to use Peter to bring Jesus down. So anybody, let me tell you, anybody, the devil can try to look for a small crack and he can come and use you. Use you against your husband. I've told you many times, you can be waking up in the morning. You guys prayed nicely. You even had a devotion. But when you can wake up, in the morning, you're angry. There was one time my wife used to tell me, there was a time, Pastor, you used to wake up very angry all the time. It is the devil. The devil used to use me. I am confessing. I don't even know why what crack there was. I mean, how can you explain, Julius? You had a Bible study with my sister Charity, and you prayed the grace. Actually, the one you prayed, and you prayed actually in tongues. Even when you are going to bed, you're covering yourself. The tongues are really fading away from your mouth. Oh, Sandarabav Shandolo, thank you, Jesus. And when you are waking up, you're like, Why do you have to put my glass which you use this here? It's supposed to be here. Why do you put it here? And your wife wonders, Guy, what happened to my husband? Or what happened to my wife? Or what happened to my child? It is the devil. Because the devil knows that the moment you are so inaccessible, but you know what? I can use somebody who is very close to bring them down or to gain access to them. And it just takes one word. You know, you can call somebody, you know, with your mind, but you didn't say it, but you said it in your heart. And the devil gives, you know, you leave a crack. And so the next time they'll come and visit you, let me tell you, you are in a dangerous zone. Because the moment the devils and these demons find access into your heart, it comes and hardens your heart. You know what? Instead of you becoming a headquarters, you know, why did you think President Barack Obama won in all those swing states? Forgive me, nobody comes to hear that I'm mixing politics in the church. Why do you think he won? He had many offices, twice, almost three times as much as the Republican Party in every swing state. And so they were doing groundwork, knocking on doors, telling people about the benefits of voting Democratic, for the Democratic Party, you know? And that's how, let me tell you, all truth is parallel. That's how the kingdom of God ought to operate. You're supposed to be a spiritual stronghold wherever you are in your neighborhood. You know what? So that when you are there, when the demons have been on assigned to come and steal through other people, they can see your house and they can see fire. And so when they see fire, nobody can come to Kela or even within the radius of 5 miles because of your protection. My mom, you hear that? Do you hear that? That's how the kingdom of God works too. The kingdom of the devil works. There are people, he uses spiritual strongholds to completely terrorize a certain area. Why you hear sometimes they are crime prone, you don't want to go there. They even record it when you're looking for a house. They tell you, this one, your house will be broken into in advance. There is no protection in that area. You look for somebody who is holy, maybe they have moved from that area. Praise God. That's how the enemy works. So I don't want the enemy to use me as a spiritual stronghold to propagate the kingdom of the devil. Let me tell you how a hardened heart happens. You know what? You start by saying, you're visited. People are stepping on your stone. The demons and the agents, they are coming actually in camouflage. In an entourage. They are coming with this entourage and chariots of pride. They are coming with the gossips. They are loaded and they are coming to knock on your door. Sooner or later, if you don't resist the devil, your ground will be so hardened because imekanyaga kanyagwa. We don't have anybody who doesn't understand. So, there's Israel. Because your ground has been stepped on. Do you understand? And sooner or later, we develop an attitude. You know, have you gotten to a point, let me tell you, it has happened to me sometime, whereby I don't want anything to hear the word. I mean, it's not that I want to deny my faith, but I am so bored. I want to read something else. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want even to hear somebody preach. I feel like I don't want anything to do with going out for outreach. I don't want it. You know, I feel in my heart, I don't want it. Let me tell you, it's the devil. It is the devil. And the moment the demons come and they realize, oh, kuna kam, there's a crack, and they want to shemerera, and they want to come in, and they want to, the more they're hardening the ground so that your heart is completely fortified by evil things. You know, the devil needs to know that you are not the headquarters of spreading rumors or killing other people with your words. You know, if the devil would find for somebody who can spread rumors, wrong rumors concerning their brothers and sisters, that all they can think is your home. Who do you think? Well, I mean, think about it. What have you done? Huh? If the devil thinks of somebody, a body that he can use to propagate adultery, and he's thinking about your house, Kwani, who are you? When the devil thinks of somebody he can commit fornication with, he cannot even think about somebody who is ungenerated. He's thinking about your house. Hard heart. When the word of God comes, it hardens our hearts. Let me tell you, church, we need to pray, God, may you shower me with the rain. Break down the fallow ground, my Lord. I want every time the word of God is directed to my heart that you find a ground that is ready to take in the seed. For when that seed falls on a dry ground, unless it is consummated with a fertile, soft soil, that seed will remain in a bind but alone. And sooner or later, the enemy will come and find that word, because the word has power. It might find itself within into your heart, because you might even cry out to God, and the enemy will come and snatch it out from you, and you'll be left without any protection. how I pray, church. This is the first portion of what Jesus told us about the parable of the sower. Let when the word of God will be sent out and directed to your heart, let it find a fertile ground. Is he going to find a fertile ground? As we are later going to find out, you know, later in this mini series, it doesn't matter. As long as your heart is fertile, you know, the smallest portion of growth is 30%. Can you imagine about that? So in other words, the Lord doesn't expect when the word of God falls into your heart to produce 100%. He is okay even if you're starting slowly. And that's why, you know, the disciples of Jesus came to Jesus and they wondered, okay, what do you mean by this parable? Even though they had the ability, it was given them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, they were still struggling. God wants, doesn't really care about your struggles. You know, as long as that word can find its way into your heart, you can begin by 30-fold. That is still acceptable before the Lord. Amen? As long as there's this productivity, that word, once it consummates with your heart, it is going to cause a productivity. And soon there's going to be a fruit. Even if you yield 30%, God says, yes, sir, I love you. I can use the 30%. Even though our goal should be 100-fold. But God still says, once you know that it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, just allow that word to settle into your heart. You know what that word does as I come to conclude because of our time? We have attitudes. Attitudes that are inherent within us. How many of you have had an attitude when you had somebody spoke, who does that person think he is? You know, does he think he is just because he drives a Toyota Corolla? That is an attitude. You know, or you overhear somebody earns more than you. Oh, so he earns all the money, thinks dollars belongs to him. Attitude. You know? Or you hear Pastor Tony just dresses out the way he's dressed up. I say, Kwani, that is the only suit that he can wear. Attitude. So many things. There's so many things. Attitude towards your work. You go to your work and you know, when you go there, you want to harass everybody, banish everybody. Attitude. There are certain things that the Lord needs to knock down that are not quality for the kingdom business. Are you listening to me? And the only recipe, the only tool, the only weapon that can knock down those things, attitudes in our hearts is the word of God. So when the word of God comes, it begins to percolate. You know, it goes into this area. And it is painful because it is construction at work. You can hear somebody crying out. When we are praying, it is the word of God going into that area and it is really completely pruning that area. Why? What? When I hear somebody crying when I'm praying, I leave them alone because I don't know what they are going through with the business of the Lord. They may have realized, God, I am disconnecting myself with this pornography. That man who has been coming to my house every time wanting me in Abutakata is the law. They are allowing the word of God to really percolate and it is painful. There are some things that we have held so dear for too long, they have become part of us. But the fact that they are part of us doesn't mean that they are right. They need to be taken off. They need to be sliced. They need to be pruned. And it's only the word of God when it settles into your heart. My sister, I beseech you. My brothers, I beseech you. Allow the operation of the word of God in us. Because the word of God is settles in us and begins operation, will be geared towards our success. I am not talking about financial miracles, because every time we talk about success, we, especially we who are from the third world countries, because of the things we have gone through, we think money. Seriously, we think, oh, you see, Pastor is talking about success. Let me tell you, success is this. When you're coming together with your husband, with your wife, brought up from a different area, brought up even in a different way from a different parents, and you still can talk nicely and have peace in that home. It is where the central theme of your marriage, the central theme of your family is the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is success. It is where you're a beacon of light wherever you are. When people look at you, they can see the character of Christ within that family. That is success. When these things begin to happen in you, the Bible says, seek ye the first, the kingdom of God and its righteousness and all these other things. You know, surprisingly, you don't even have to worry about money. When you align, we are lined up
we are lined up the way the Lord wants us, he will supply for us. Are you listening to me? He will supply for us. Praise be to God. So, how is the condition of your heart? You may have, it has been given to you because I know you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have been given the ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom, you've been given the right. That means when the word lands into your heart, which holds the core values of your life, into your heart, which holds the dreams of your life, it has the ability to percolate into every area, every section, every corner of your life, knocking down things that have been for so long stayed in your heart, and God wanting to change you so that you be attracted to the things of the Lord. Let me tell you, church, just coming to church here, some of us just depend on a sermon that you hear here on Sunday. It is not enough. Seriously. How many minutes? I'm concluding around now, 15 minutes. What is that going to do for a week? It's not going to help us. But when the word of God comes into us and changes us, if it changes us, you'll have an affinity for the word of the Lord. And it will be progressive. I don't care whether you start by 30, even 20, even though it's not mentioned in the Bible, 30. That is the qualification. You're on your way towards success. Amen? Let us stand up on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I don't know who I was speaking to, but I know for sure I was speaking to myself too. I pray that you shall help us so that we shall not be callous, hardened by the things of this earth. I pray that when the enemy comes to visit us to destroy our lives, I pray that he'll find a seal. He'll find protection. And he will not even find access to our hearts. We refuse, Lord, to be used as tools of the devil to propagate the kingdom of the enemy. And we declare, Lord, that we shall be true, authentic ambassadors. Brothers and sisters who care for each other. Brothers and sisters who care for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who will live to the truth of the concepts of faith that were introduced to them when they received Jesus. Father, I pray that many times the enemy has succeeded to come into our hearts. And we have been preyed upon by the enemy. But I pray that we shall be alert. We shall be cognizant of the fact that we are constantly under attack by the enemy. I pray that when he directs his darts concerning us, Father, they would be diverted seven ways in the name of Jesus from whence they came. And I pray that we shall be protected. Help us, Father, to preserve the authority that you've given us, the ability that has been given us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. This word that was written, Father, was written not only for our forefathers, but it was written for us. The things that have been revealed, Lord, are for us and our children. And we are going to inherit these things. We shall declare these words to our children, to our parents, to our spouses in the name of Jesus. I pray that wherever we are, Father, we shall be spiritual strongholds. That when the eyes of the Father are ranging throughout the face of the earth, Father, they will see us well protected and well ready, able and ready to do the work of the ministry. For we indeed have to do the work of the Lord while it is still day, for night cometh when no man can work. I pray for all of this, my God, your children. May you protect them. Lift up their heads, O God. Father God, cause their hearts to discern the truth and the falsehoods of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Above everything, Lord, I pray that you shall cover them by the blood of Jesus. Cause them, Father God, even to apply whatever any means that they have within their disposal to break down the fallow ground so that when the seeds are broadcasted, they'll gain ground and bring forth a fruit. I thank you, Lord, and I bless you. You might be in this auditorium, I've never given your life to Jesus. I want to give you this opportunity. You can raise up your hand. Receiving Jesus is easy. The Bible says if only you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died
And he rose after the third day. And if only you can confess with your mouth, you can be born again. Lift up your hand and I'll pray Jesus into your heart today. Is there anyone? Thank you, Lord. Father God, I want to dismiss these children, Lord, even as they usher into the marketplaces, that none of them will be distracted. None of them will be destroyed. I speak super favor in the name of Jesus in their offices, oh God. I call for divine connections. Every tongue that rises against them, Lord, I condemn. In the name of Jesus, they will walk in the authority that you've given them as children of God. For indeed, this you have given, the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Father, you use them as spiritual strongholds, Lord, to propagate the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus. Father, when the enemy comes to accuse them, let him find no one to accuse them, nothing to accuse them about, because they are authentic children, blood bought, yes, and Holy Ghost filled. I pray that you shall give them access even to the most noble things, oh Father, that they so desire in the name of Jesus. Help us to be aware of what we are and who we are and whose we are at any given moment of this week. Grant us success, dear Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 You can give Jesus a hand clap offering to appreciate him for his work. Thank you so much. The meeting is dismissed, right? Okay. Let's turn to each other and bid each other with the words of the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Love you guys.